Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance, a platform for indie authors, poets, and writers who love romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy. Thank you for joining me today. Our guest and co-host is ML Broom. She wrote A Series of Moments, a brilliant trilogy. She's a great lady. Please join me as we welcome ML Broom and enjoy the listen.
Okay, hello everybody, everyone who's joined us today. This is All About Romance. I'm Tricia Harley McCarthy, as the intro stated. And we have a real treat. We have a real firecracker on our hands today. My buddy, I just love her to bits, is joining us as co-host, ML Broom. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being my first co-host. This is exciting.
Oh, you are very welcome. And I am so glad that I got to co-host with you because I absolutely adore you. You're my buddy, too. And you're the only one who had a way with calling me a firecracker.
Well, thank you. I guess that's an honor. You are, though. You have a lot of spirit,
yeah,
which I love. You rub off on people very naturally, and it's a great energy about you. So, yeah.
That's
my
beautiful
spirit.
Compliment. Oh, I love that. I love you. Thank you.
So, we're here today to introduce you to this listening audience of how many people, which is excellent. We appreciate you joining us today. So we had a little pre-chat about what we wanted to discuss today, and I thought you brought up an excellent topic about the darker side of writing and publishing as an indie author. And but I also want to talk about your books, which are great, Jacob and Lillian. Woohoo! Great couple. Very, very emotionally intense read. So, how do you want to start out? What would you like to talk about and address?
Well, I mean, we can jump in. We can talk a little bit about my books, a little bit about your books,
okay,
and then maybe just
riff
a little bit about the dark side. Then we'll go to the dark side. How about that?
I think I already live there. I think we can announce that we're both being in an anthology in December. We're both having books featured for an anthology, and I'm excited about that.
I am too. I'm really happy to be working with Melanie James. She's another one. She's a pistol. I'm going to call her a pistol, not a firecracker. But she's an amazing human being. I'm really honored to be a part of it with her and with you. So it'll definitely be fun.
And you're the one that actually recommended Falling Accidentally Love to be included. So I was thrilled when you read that book, and I was thrilled that you suggested that would be a great addition to the anthology. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely.
I listened to your advice.
It's a fantastic book, even though you dang near killed me a few times in it.
Well, that's the same complaint I get from any of my beta readers, is that I always do the cliffhanger and it just drives them nuts. But they always come back for more. So I can't complain. They're a wonderful group.
I'm the queen of cliffhangers, so I completely understand.
Yes.
I have some people that go, I want to kill you. When is the next one coming out? I was like, okay.
Yes, actually, you did that with Lily and Jacob in A Series of Moments, which is, I read all three books, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great read. It's very, what I love about it, it has all the feels, you have the good, the funny, the intense, and angst. So you have a great combination, a great recipe for an excellent trilogy.
Thank you. It actually wasn't supposed to start out as a trilogy. It was just going to be a standalone. But as you know, it wasn't satisfied being a standalone. Their story wasn't going to be able to be told in one book. So I just kind of followed them. It's like herding cats sometimes with your characters. You know, they decide they're going to go off this way, and you're like, I'll wait for you to come back.
I know how that feels. I'm writing, I was writing a a chapter recently, and all of a sudden this narcissistic, you know, character showed up, and I'm like, wow. and I wrote it very well. So it's scary how soon that takes over. It's like you have an idea, but you never know what's going to turn out on the page at the end. Hey, we
and
have
I
our
think
first
that makes
caller.
Sense.
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yay.
It's the unexpected. So you want to take our first caller? Let me. I think I know who this is.
Hello.
This is. Hi, Susan. ML Broom
hey,
is on the is co-hosting.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Seeing what Firecracker and what Firecracker's up to today.
Getting into trouble
like
instead of trying to stay out of it.
Yeah, with you two, anything's possible, isn't it?
That is absolutely the case. That's what we said. Best laid plans with this call, any direction.
Hey, there you
yeah.
go. Sounds like a plan.
Where are you from, Susan?
I'm from Mississippi, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Grew up here all my life.
My brother lived 23 years in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He loved it there. The whole town, though, changed. When I first went to visit, it was just a small little town, and then I went back, and it had just exploded, and
yes,
everything
had
built up around them.
It has. It's grown up a lot since I started growing up here. It's grown up a lot.
It's crazy sometimes how different it is from when we were kids. It really is. But.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So you have anything you want to ask
just...
us or you want to join in? Or?
No, I mean, I did have a question just to ask. What is your favorite characters in one of your books? What is your favorite characters in one of your books?
My
question.
Favorite character in my, yeah, and actually it's funny because I think everyone would think that it's going to be one of the protagonists, but it's actually one of my supporting characters, and it is Jacob's sister, Janie, because she is like the voice of reason throughout the entire trilogy, and she provides a lot of comic relief. And I think in a way, that's kind of my role in a lot of situations in real life. So I feel kindred with her.
I could see that.
I'm like, hey, I'm just over here gonna do anything I have to. I'll dance on the bar. What do you need me to do so you get a laugh?
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
And apologizing for my idiot friend, brother, whoever, who's doing something stupid that he shouldn't have done. And I'm really sorry it's not me type of situation.
That's all right. We all have that.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Trisha, what
yeah,
about
her
you?
Yeah, Trisha, what about you? What is your favorite?
My favorite character, I would have to say, is Devin Wallace from Falling Accidentally in Love, because his character is—he's an alpha, but he has such a great side. He showed his emotional side in the book, and I love that he was a strong guy, but he was acknowledging his weakness—not really weakness, but his mental break at a point where he's supposed to be helping other people. You know, he had to go through it himself, and it was a deep character to write. I really enjoyed writing him.
He was very much a teddy bear, or a brown bear. You know,
I'm actually in the middle of reading
very
that honky. Now. Hang
Yeah, he's very hunky. All the county women love him. So he's one of those kind of guys that, you know, he appeals to everybody, guys and women too. Not
definitely,
that way,
because
but,
every man thinks they're just like that, and we don't want to tell them differently.
No, really? It's like asking directions, you know.
Oh yeah. No, that. What is that? I don't understand.
That's true.
That's a whole different romance.
Yeah. Let me you know, though, if you turn down the radio, it will. You can actually figure out where you are a lot easier. I don't know the logic behind it.
Yeah, you don't want to have the feedback. That's the thing. If you're have the radio on going, yeah, and you're actually hearing us live because you're on the dashboard. So is there anything else you want to ask? Or
just one more question. What is the most fun about it? About I guess deciding what photos y'all use from all the hunky guys. Is it the fun just looking at them all, or trying to decide?
Oh yeah, it's a hard part of the job, let me tell you.
You know writers wear different hats, and that one particular is kind of like a pimp hat, you know, because you're pimping out these guys to look at, you know, all the man candy there, you know. It kind
it's
of like
but
that.
You know, you have to look at it like we're really brightening people's days with a little bit of man candy. You know, it's just that you need a little bit of that sometimes. But
yeah, I mean, it's fun looking at them all, trying to decide which one I want to post for the day. I can guarantee you that.
They never get old, do they? They never get bored.
No, they sure don't. They sure don't.
If we didn't have hunky guys on my book page, I think the whole you know, following would revolt about, you know, where's the hunky guys? So,
definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you ladies get back, and I'll listen in.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
Here.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So,
oh, I love her. She's a firecracker, too.
She's actually my intern. She does all the book page stuff for me, and she's starting to branch out into the groups, too. So she's a treasure. She really is.
She's
a wonderful gal. Yeah. So tell me, we were talking earlier about the downside of being a writer. What do you think is the major obstacle that people who haven't been published yet perhaps face when, you know, try to avoid the pitfalls of self-publishing?
It's twofold, I believe. The first part, the first aspect would definitely be the cost factor that's associated with self-publishing and all those little extra costs that go into things that you don't realize at the outset. You don't realize just how much that 80,000-word novel is going to cost to be edited and formatted, and the cover and the advertisements and promotion. And it can seem endless at times. And you're not making the money back right out of the gate. So it's going out and it's not coming in. At least that's been my experience.
You're investing in yourself with what you're doing at that point, because, you know, we have to lay the foundation and the you know, the mortar to the big building that we're building for ourselves. And I think we don't always know that on the onset. So I think that's what I want to help people realize is, you know, what they face and, you know, ways to get around it or ways to make it easier so that, you know, they don't struggle. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I knew nothing about writing when I started. Nothing. I learned everything from the ground floor up. And it's always an education.
I'm not
an
English major.
I still learn things.
Oh, every day.
You're what?
And because I'm not an English major.
Yeah.
So for me, it really, I'm a science major. I'm a nurse by trade. So it was completely opposite schools of thought. And I'd always been a writer. I always loved writing. But I did not know the publishing world. And I didn't, there's a saying in nursing, and I'm sure it's in coaching as well, that in the beginning, you don't know what you don't know. And that was very much with writing. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing or where I was supposed to be going. And I bumbled along for a while. until I found my rhythm, and I'm still finding it, you know, every day learning something new. And that's to be expected, and I think it's really just to be kind to yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yesterday, I after the show, I just felt like, because we had some glitches, I just kind of felt like I was let down by the situation, and I didn't want to let other people down, and I was really hard on myself last night. A friend was helping me with that, so... and today I'm better, but, you know, it's always the expectation that really will get you in trouble. So I curb that.
And we're sensitive. That's the thing. We're
absolutely.
Also very sensitive, creative beings. And so we take things to heart. But the hardest thing for me has been, and we all have our terms for them, but there's some people that just seem hell-bent on ripping apart your work, and it's something that's going, it's not that it might happen, it will happen, and that's something that people need to embrace, that there will be people that will hate everything about you, and they'll tell the world.
That's true. Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Hey, we have another caller. Would you like to take a call?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hello,
you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello. Hi, this is
Jeannie.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Jeannie.
Oh, hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
I am calling from Minnesota. You probably hear it in my voice.
I'm a little up there.
What I'm wondering is, with the difficulty in starting, what made both of you stick to it and become writers as you are?
That's a good question. Jeannie.
Huh?
Go ahead and answer.
No, that is a really good question, Jeannie. Honestly, I wanted to be a writer. But I grew up in a family where writing was a great hobby, and I'm doing air quotes right now. It wasn't considered a career. It was, this is, you know, you can do that in your free time, but you need to work the 9-to-5 American dream, have the house and white picket fence idea. And I tried. I tried really hard for many years, and I was never fulfilled. And I finally said, you know what? If I don't do this now, I may fail miserably, or nothing may come of it. But I need to at least try and see if all those little voices in my head that say that I can do this, if they're actually correct or not. And I mean, I've fallen on my butt, Jeannie, a million times with this, but it's the only time I'm really happy. So that's what keeps me going, even when people are hating on us.
You know, to answer that question, Jeannie, I think for me, it's the people that have been with me for so long, my team, and they love what I do, and that motivates me. You know, the people who appreciate your work, the new people you meet, people who you wouldn't even think in a million years would read your things, and they love it, and it's such a motivator. Yeah. Jeannie's read a few of my books, I think. So.
Yes, I have.
But...
I love them.
Yay! That's what we like to hear.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's what motivates me. You know, I like to write a story, and I like it to be angsty, and I like it to be have twists and turns, and because that's what I like to read. So that's kind of what, whether it's paranormal or contemporary, that's kind of what motivates me, is to be the best storyteller possible. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I found it interesting, too, Trish, how your favorite character was Devon. And also I agree with you, but I really like in your books how as you're writing one book and another character gets to be, you get curious about another character, and all of a sudden you're writing another book about that character's life. And I love that because you describe them so well and go into such detail, and the characters become real that you want to know more about that individual. So,
well,
I can see where Devin is your favorite, but
who's your favorite?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
I like
come
them
on.
All good. In my mind, they're all good looking.
Put you on the spot.
Hey, she's honest.
I'm terribly sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jeannie is the salt of the earth. She's honest as honest can be. So she's Midwest people. She's Midwest.
We don't mince words, right? You just kind of get whatever you're going to get.
Right.
And I love that about you.
She's the nicest lady we've met. And talk about just, you know, sweet, and she's exactly what she is. But she has this tough side that I love. That's kind of surprising. She kind of comes across as a sweet little grandmother, but, oh, there's a side to her that I love.
I think that's really with most women, when they come together to form however you want to call it, their group, their tribe, whatever, I think it really is the strong women. We know how to work both sides. We know how to be soft when we need to be, but we also know how to kick butt when we need to and stand up for ourselves.
Yep.
And that's a huge part.
Yeah. Well, I have worked as go ahead, George.
Oh, no. It's fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have worked as a paraprofessional in school for, well, this is my 23rd year, and I work with high school kids. So that tough side has to come out, actually, more than the
fun
side.
Oh, I was going to say, God bless.
And the household full of boys helped, too, I think.
Yes, yeah, four sons. So they're all adults now, but, so... And a husband, you know, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Five kids.
It was
all
never dull.
Exactly. I love it. So
it's been fun talking to you. And well, I can't think of any, but I sure... Okay, and I will keep listening. And it's just been really fun talking to you.
Aww,
I will say I haven't read any of your books yet, but I will definitely do that.
Wow, love you. Thank you.
All right, bye. Have a good
evening.
Okay,
thanks, Julie.
You
take
too.
Bye.
Well, guess what? We have another caller. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Great.
Are they ready for
us? Hi there.
Hi.
I'm always ready to talk to you. Stop your nonsense.
Oh, I feel like I'm in trouble.
You might be.
Who do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
Well, I don't
Hello?
Think I need to introduce. Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh,
yes,
Leanne,
can
we
hear
can
you.
Hear you.
Okay. So my name's Leanne, and I was a reader for the Series of Moments books.
She's also
and
one
thought,
of my dearest friends.
Aw.
Thanks. And I just thought it would be really cool to talk about, like, how you come up with the names of your books. Because I think that's a real challenge. I know we spend a lot of time. I mean, I kind of served as a sounding board.
So did your husband.
Yes, he did. On speakerphone.
Oh, Tricia, this is a great story. So Leanne actually came up with the name of my series. And she was driving. Where were you going? Were you going to Hilton Head? I think you were going to Hilton Head. So it's this, like, four-hour ride there and back. And she just had me on speakerphone. And her poor husband is helping to feed. He's like, I don't even know what I'm doing. What am I doing right now? We're, like, naming a series. He said, what kind of books are they? He was so confused, but he was such a good sport about everything.
Well,
he actually put in a lot of really good info, I thought.
He did. He was fantastic. And it was amazing because having people that helped me to name, come up with the names of my, not just the series, but each of the books was so important because I had some, you know, I had ideas for series name. And she looked at me and she said, are you writing it? And she said, no offense, because if it's about a stripper, then that's great. But is it about a stripper? I said, no. And she said, then I wouldn't go with this. Leanne is from New Jersey. So she is very, very honest.
Yes. You need blunt people to keep you on the straight and narrow. You know, that's important.
Well, what I got from it was that the name of the book that you had, or whatever the name was, I don't remember what it was now, but I could see where you were trying to go with it, but it was coming across a little trashy.
Yeah, it was. And I realized that after I looked at it, I was like, oh, she's right. That's not at all what I want, because the book wasn't trashy. At least I hope it wasn't trashy. No,
but it really gave me moments, girl. We definitely had to read that very, very on the fly. I mean,
that's colors are really important to a reader. I find out some of them don't really care as long as it's a good story. But I've done polls. I've done a lot of polls and asked a reader if they're drawn to a cover, you know, and then you have to pull the whole design together with the, you know, the title. And, you know, yours are beautiful. They're just gorgeous and they're so elegant.
She helped design that too.
Oh, gorgeous. I love those colors. I love the colors. So beautiful.
Yeah,
you did a great job.
It was, I think I was driving her absolutely bonkers. She was such a good sport about all of it. Because I would just send over this, I'm not a designer, Susanna from LSD Design. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And she'd send me this whole barrel full of different designs. And I would just send them all over to Leanne. And Leanne's in the middle of a meeting going, okay, number two, number five, number. And I'm like, I'm sending ever more. And she's like, you're killing me.
I love it.
It was helpful to have someone who said, I like this, I wouldn't buy this, and I really bounced it off of about 6 or 7 people, and they all seemed to gravitate to the same 1 or 2 options, and then from there I knew I was pretty safe with whichever one I preferred.
It's a blessing to have people around you who will support you no matter what and help you. You know, I find that most people want to help you. What our last caller, Jeannie, if I need a feedback on something, she's really the great person, one of the great persons I go to, as far as asking their opinion. So it's really nice to have a great tribe around you to support you. That's great.
Absolutely. So how do you come up with your titles, Trisha?
For example, I Shine, that was because of the story has it, a guy has a FLIR camera that does heat signatures, and the animal in question, the eyes glow in the dark, kind of like dogs mm-hmm. and cats, and so that's mm-hmm. what kind of gave me the title, I Shine.
Nice.
So,
and it flows, too. It has to flow really well.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I like very simplistic covers. I'm not big into the, you know, a lot of stuff on my covers. But I start with my covers first, actually. That's how I start my books. I have my covers.
Oh, that's
and then
neat.
I go from there. It's kind of like a vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I've
it
had
really
a few
is.
Songs and I've had a few songs inspire my titles, like Accidentally Love is by Counting Crows. It's also a song. So, so different things inspire me.
Isn't that funny how you never know what's going to inspire you? It could be a smell. It
no.
could be a picture, a song. And then suddenly
it's
you've got this whole story going in your head.
Hey, we got another caller. Can I put you on hold? Leanne, is that all right? You
sure.
Okay. Okay, hold on.
If you want me.
Hi, this is Tricia and ML Broom. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Eliza. How are you? I think ML Broom knows me.
I know her quite well, yes.
Yeah. Hi. I chimed in, and I wanted to see if you guys might be able to answer a question for me, as you guys are writers. As you guys are writing fiction, I know with fiction in general, I know that people will take from reality. But if you wanted to write a more of a real story from life but fictionalize it a bit, how would you go about doing that? Like, if you don't want to get hung up on, like, names and place names and things like that, how would you go about possibly writing the story and then dealing with that stuff?
That's a good question.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
She's good with the tough questions. So is Leanne. And Jeannie and Susan. They're all real good with the tough questions.
Yes, they are. Go ahead.
I actually drew quite a bit from, because this was my first venture into fiction. So I drew from people that I knew. And actually, Liza is a big part of the inspiration between one of my secondary characters, Sabina, in the novel, because I use her sarcasm and her sense of humor and the way that she handles things. And so she's a blending of some of the people that I know, because for me, at least, I know all her traits, I know her quirks, and I love every single one of them. But, you know, I know these people, so it's easier to create real characters that way. And I'll blend, and the way I kind of keep it fictionalized is by taking two or three people and morphing them together into one character. And
that's
then I
cool.
fill in, scenery doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter to me, but I don't have to have it be a specific location. So.
That's great. I actually write things that have happened in my life in my books. So I take that. I change the name to protect the innocent, I guess, would be a disclaimer. And but most of it happened to me. It wasn't someone else. So I take real life experience and apply that into the story. And I think that, you know, it's realistic because I lived through it. So when I write it, you know, hopefully people who are reading it will feel that, you know, feeling of emotion in the writing.
So the experience is real. It's what you're writing, but you just maybe tweak a little stuff here and there so someone else may not realize that this happened if someone you knew read it.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I changed the name. But the experience itself, for example, at the end of one of my Mustang Accidentally Love, the end of the chapter, or excuse me, the end of the book has a issue with a woman getting diagnosed with a potential cancer, you know, breast cancer. And so that happened to me. So I wrote that into the story, and luckily it was benign, so there was no
thank God,
you know,
yeah.
problem. Yes, exactly. But the feeling leading up to that is terrifying, you know, for any woman
yeah.
to have that to go through that. So I think it really helps my writing personally to, you know, reflect on my experiences, and they come across relatable, and it's, you know, because I experienced that. So I think a lot of people can relate to that in terms of my writing.
Definitely. You have to write what you know to a great degree. There has to be some truth in it, I think, for it to resonate with people, or otherwise it can come across as inauthentic, but.
Yeah, I read this romance novel I think it was her first novel, and she wrote it in Italy, which is, you know, sounds like it's a really beautiful place to write, but it more or less, she wrote it like a travel dialogue, or, you know, it wasn't travelogue, I guess would be the best term for it, and it's more like you're reading, you know, what do you call those books that you, travel books, you know, for Italy.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how she wrote it. And I'm like, you know, she didn't like what I said, but it was true. I said this read more like a travelogue than it did, you know, romance. And so though the romance part was good, but it was limited. And so I think that's the example of where it doesn't really come across as natural as part of the writing flow in the story.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question, though, Eliza. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you very much. And thank you
for
answering my hard question. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you go.
It was great.
I'll let you go and let you finish chit-chatting and having other people to talk to. Give them a chance.
Okay.
But
thank you for calling in. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Okay.
So,
is Leanne still there?
Yes, she is. We could bring her back.
Yay. Okay, I love it.
Oh, there she.
She paused you all to pause. That was really cool.
You like that, huh?
That was a good. I did. I like that. Anytime that we can get Miss Broom to have a moment to pause.
Okay, seriously, it's rare.
So I have two questions. The first one is, what's the most difficult thing about writing characters from the opposite sex?
I'll let you take that one first.
Thank you very much. Okay, so as you know, writing romance, there's a certain way to write male, you know, characters, and it's kind of an expected that there are, you know, kind of, not always, but, you know, alpha or, you know, very manly and prowess in the bedroom and you name it. However, one of my male friends told me that's not realistic as far as a sex scene goes. So, so to answer your
that's
question.
That's what mine said too.
Oh, really? So guys kind of look at it as we kind of write unrealistic kind of guys. But I think there's guys out there that actually do have that passion or, you know, whatever, you know, proclivities, whatever it is that they do in the story or the writer, you know, writes about them and develops their character. So I don't know. I think it's more fantasy sometimes as opposed to actual, you know, real life character. Because I don't know if anyone really acts in real life like that. At least the guys do. I don't know. You can take.
I've met a few. I've been lucky to meet a few.
Oh. That sounds like a good romance book right there.
Yeah. Well. Then I'm going to change the question for ML, and I want the question for you to answer is what was the hardest scene for you to write?
For my first books, and she already knows the answer, the sex scenes were the hardest thing for me to write because I'm actually a very shy human being, and I felt like a voyeur into a private moment, and I had to finally step in and own that character as my own so that I felt like, okay, I'm in the moment. I'm not just observing the moment, but that was hard. I mean, I was bright red sometimes with a glass of wine in my hand going, I can do this. I can do this. It got easier. It really did.
I love it. That's so funny because at first when I started writing, and by no means, mine are kind of tame in comparison to a lot of other authors who have more explicit and graphic, you know, sex scenes. That's great. You know, everyone writes what they write. And for me, it was,
you have great
I was so
sex
embarrassed.
Scene.
Thank you. I got embarrassed when I first started writing them, and my face had just turned beet red, like, and there's no one there. It's just me and the dog. You know, she doesn't care. And but I think the funny part for me, and I'll admit this on the air, is that one time I was trying to, they had legs and arms and, you know, kind of entangled, and I was kind of mechanically trying to figure out how to do the scene by doing the motion myself, not all of it, but, you know, just kind of seeing from a perspective where it's going to make sense on the page. So it was, that was kind of silly, but it was fun. It was kind of fun to do the mechanics.
And it does get easier,
but,
though. It really does. The first yeah. love scene is just, it feels stilted and wrong, and you feel like, I don't know, I'm sitting there feeling like my parents are going to burst into the room and ground me. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old I am. It's like, no, I just felt like, I'm doing something naughty. And then I realized, well, yeah, damn, I am doing something naughty, and it's fun. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, and they have to be well-placed, because I'm telling you, some of the, you know, every other page of sex is just, to me, boring, you know? Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah, you could have sex, and I don't think a man can honestly have that much semen in him in a book that has so much sex, you know? It's just biologically not possible.
I can even say that as an avid reader, if there's that many scenes, I tend to flip the page. I'm like, okay, yes, okay,
yeah.
Got it, move on.
But, yeah.
We're having sex again.
Yeah, but I'm also a reader. Exactly. That's the whole thing. And I don't know, ML had said something to me through a chat one time about how instead of calling my books a smut, you know, someone called my book smut. And she goes, no, you're writing a love story. Boy, that put a whole different perspective on the outlook of my books. So that was great advice. Thank you.
But it's true, because some people have grown up in a more rigid environment, and that's fine. And for them, anything beyond a peck on the cheek could be construed as some level of smut. And yet at the same time, I look at it and say, if I pulled out every single sex scene, will I still have a story? Will my story have legs? And when I realized it did, I was like, okay, so then we're just adding to it. It's just adding another layer. There's some, though, that,
right.
I mean, Leanne and I had talked about that, that some stories you take out the sex and you're like, and there goes the plot.
Well, it's like a porno, I guess, right? If you take the sex out, there's no movie. So, or video or whatever.
Yeah.
So that
pizza delivery guy, you know?
Yeah.
Leanne, I blame you for getting us on this topic.
Okay, well, I have another question that will totally change the entire direction of this line of discussion. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is your favorite childhood book and why?
Oh, I've got two. I love Jane Eyre, and because that to me was the absolute tortured heroine and hero, and they were raw and they were imperfect, and it created a perfect love because it was so imperfect and they were imperfect. And then on the flip side, Alice in Wonderland, because it satisfied Alice's Adventures Through the Looking Glass, because it satisfied every crazy idea my imagination could come up with and created several new ones. So.
Well,
let's see
the biggest book. I think Charlotte's Web was my childhood book that I remember. And I kind of relate to Charlotte in a way that I was kind of an old soul as a kid, so I kind of related to her because she was always imparting wisdom, you know. And I loved that about that book. Not that I knew about all that at that point, but it just, you know, I connected with that on that level. So it was great. Now, on the flip side, as ML put it, Bridget Jones' Diary was like a game changer for me. And I saw the movie first, fell in love with it because I love Colin Firth. And it just spoke to me at that point because I was single, you know, and it just was about someone's, you know, desperation to be loved and accepted and being single in a big city, cosmopolitan city like London. It just spoke to my heart because I love all of that. It's just the perfect combination. And that inspired my first book, actually. So, yeah, that was just a game changer for me.
I love that. Leanne, what's your favorite?
Favorite childhood book. Harry the Dirty Dog.
I have not familiar with Harry the Dirty Dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Does the cover have, like, a big sheepdog on it?
I don't think it's a sheepdog. He's more like a cross between a beagle and a Dalmatian.
Oh, I guess not. Picking over wrong. Different dog, I guess.
So look up. There's a whole series of them. I read them in grammar school. They were just so much fun.
Harry the Dirty Dog. I'm going to have to go online and find these books now.
Yeah, well, you know, this wonderful thing out there called a library, and you can go and actually get a physical book and read it.
Really? You don't
wow.
say.
Wow.
They have them in
my
area, too.
Hey, our family uses the library. Because before we would have to carry too many boxes of books everywhere we went. So, let's go into an e-book situation or library. So it works out perfectly.
I still prefer paperback. So, you know, or hardbacks. I do love the feeling of a real book in my hand. I mean, an e-book is way more convenient. But there's something about, from Sex and the City movie where she's like, I just love the smell of the books when they come from the library. And that's true. I do. I love the smell of the books. You just can't get that feeling from an ebook.
Yeah. I agree. I just feel it's more, because I read so much, it's just more convenient for me to do the ebooks. And I do Kindle Unlimited. So that really is something that I like to do when I'm, read through Kindle Unlimited. Obviously, you pay for it, but it's a great service. And my books are on Kindle Unlimited, too. And aren't yours?
Oh, yeah.
On Kindle?
They are.
Kindle Unlimited?
I have one that's coming off. Yeah. So two of them are on Kindle Unlimited. One's coming off to go wide. So we'll see how that works. But, yeah.
Let me know your experience with that. So,
definitely.
Let's go to a different temperament here as far as the darker side of being an indie author. How do you deal with trolls? People who just want to be nasty, not because they don't like your book, they just want to be nasty. There's no getting around it. How do you deal with that?
Well, Leanne, I don't know if you're still on the phone, but she was there for one of my first trolls because I think I may have called up crying and saying I was never going to write again. And she may or may not have told me to go get a glass of wine and breathe.
I don't remember that.
Now, I wasn't positive if it was you or not. I'm not certain who it was. I called up somebody and said, I don't know what to do. I'm not going to do this anymore. I was a mess because I struggle with caring so much what people think of me. And this person just ripped me apart and they didn't even know me. And I was like, okay, that's fine if you don't. You don't have to like my book. You don't have to like me, but I hate bullying. And I felt like, especially on certain platforms, Goodreads, there is just a lot of bullying that happens. And people are just some can be so ugly. But literally the universe, I believe in this, that that universal balance, that is almost immediately after I'd gotten this just awful, really, it tore me apart. It really hurt my heart. I got a couple of people that gave me beautiful reviews and made me realize, and then just gave me compliments on just me as a person. And made me realize, you know what? Not everybody's like that. And someone said to me, how miserable do they have to be that they took the time to rip you apart like that without knowing you as a human being?
Yeah, I got a one-star review on both my book page and Amazon, and it was by a person who I knew, and they told me they loved the book. So that was like a dagger.
Oh, now that's sad. I I've not had that.
Well, they took down the review, thank goodness, but they also, out of spite, took down a 5-star review for another book, which, you know, you kind of have to wonder, why are people so mean? I don't know. I really don't. Have no clue.
Then there's need for it.
I mean, no. You know, hey, I try to be kind on my reviews. If I'm doing a review for somebody, say I don't like the book that much, I won't leave a review. It's that simple. I'm not going to, you know, because there's going to be other people who do. There's no reason to be mean-spirited. I'm very supportive of the indie, you know, author community. There's no reason to be nasty, you know. I just don't see it.
Or to give constructive criticism. Yeah. If someone tells me, okay, I didn't like this character, I didn't feel like you developed this character enough, I didn't think that the ending actually matches the arc of the story, okay, that I can use that. Or the romance seemed really dry. Whatever, that I can use. Just to say, it was awful and I hate her and I hate these books. And I had one on Goodreads that I actually wanted to hug this woman. She said she didn't finish it. And she said, you know what, I just can't get into it. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. And I'm like, you know what, I just want to, like, go up to that woman and give her a huge hug and go, thank you. Because you could say I didn't like it, but it's just my personal opinion. I'm not going to rip her apart or rip her story apart.
Right. Right. And that's the key, you know. There's a great saying called, you know, someone who uplifts people. There's enough critics in the world, you know. So that's so true. And that's one way to uplift other people is, you know, I'm telling you, confidence in a writer is everything, I think. There's a fine balance there, and it could go either way, you know. It really does. And, you know, you were saying that you felt like you're you know, you cared too much. I think you're just sensitive, you know. You wouldn't do that to someone else, so you wish someone wouldn't do that to you, so... I don't think that's necessarily being, you know, caring too much. I think it's that you care enough, you know, not to hurt someone else's feelings with the way they would do yours.
Yeah.
So I think that's an admirable quality, honestly, at least.
I like how you put that. I like that very much.
That's how I operate. And that's the reason I started this whole platform to begin with, is because, you know, like I said before at the onset of the program, that I didn't have anything or anyone to help me. So I hope at least some advice or something we said will encourage or help someone else along on their journey as a writer, author, poet. You know, we're all in this all together and just making the world a little bit better place through our words.
You're a huge one, though, Trisha, for boosting other authors. It's a beautiful thing to see how much you're willing to help other people, and it's inspirational. And it goes to show that just because, you know, you kind of look at it and go, just because you like their book doesn't mean I can't promote their book too. You're going to read, you know, you're going to read more than one book, and we need to look at it that we're not in competition with each other. There is more than enough room for all of us.
Absolutely. And we all have to, anyone who gets a review has to be blessed, whether it's under 25, over 25, over 2,500. If people take the time to leave a review for your book, that's the best testament, whether they're 1 or 15. It's, you know, that reflects back on the author as really connecting with a reader. And, you know, I just love that. I think that's incredibly fulfilling to help others through being uplifting and, you know, and supporting each other as authors. And we have some wonderful groups on Instagram that help all of us support and share and promote, market their books and them as authors. It's
make
a
us
pleasure.
Laugh
it's
as
really
well.
An honor. It is. It's really fun. We have such a good time on Instagram, and I just have to figure out what I'm doing wrong on Facebook. I just have to kind of change that audience, too, so we'll have to see about that.
It's a very different animal.
It is. It is, and Yeah, and that's why I'm always doing polls through my group, Trisha's Treats. And that's a great segment of my readers who will give me positive feedback or negative feedback, whatever it is, honest feedback that, you know, if I ask a question, because that's where, you know, I can really adjust and market and post different things that will appeal to them, or, you know, publish things that will appeal to them. So it's a great tool to get the pulse of what's going on if you're kind of in the dark about mm-hmm. something. So feel free to use them if you ever, you know, want to get a pulse of something you're doing as an author. They're a great resource.
Oh, definitely. I'll have to start utilizing that.
Do you want to tell people about how they could find you on social media?
Oh, sure, how they can stalk me? No. In the nicest possible way.
Yeah, I have to apologize. I couldn't seem to upload that image that you gave me because I had already created the episode. So I think that's where I add that, all those, you know, your image and your book. So I'm sorry about that, but you definitely tell them where they can find you.
Well, right now, all three books are available on Amazon, and they are also available through Kindle Unlimited. So you just go and type ML Broom, and I'm the only one there. Although if you leave off the E, you'll get all kinds of nice dust mops for, you know, options for you as well. And then you can also go to my website, which is www.mlbroom.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. So it's ML Broom Auteur. So AUTEUR.
What is the auteur? What is that? Is that German?
It's just French for author.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah,
I did it that way because I actually couldn't get a handle on Instagram that was just ML Broom. So I was like, okay, I have to come up with something else, and it wasn't letting me put this author, and I'm like, okay, fine.
I've always wanted to ask you about your handle on Instagram. So we're almost coming down to the final minutes of this program. It's gone so fast. Is there anyone else that wants to call in for a quick question? We're still here. The phone call-in number is 845-241-9835. That's 845-241-9835, yes. So if anyone wants to do a last-minute call. Otherwise, is there anything else you want to add to our interview here, our co-hosting? You've been such a wonderful co-host and
it's
brought
been
in
so
some
much
great people.
Fun.
Yeah,
I
want to
know what's
great next
for you.
Taboo, I'm writing. It's about a couple who break up because the pressures of trying to conceive drive them apart. And it's kind of an angsty. Oh, it's definitely angsty. So that's in the works. And then the paranormal romance. I'm looking at Bon Voyage, paranormal romance. And so that's going to be coming up in that summer collection. So that's going to be in the works too. And the anthology coming up at Christmas time. So we're
very nice.
Down to our last minutes. So I want to thank you so much for joining me. And it's been
thank
a blast.
You.
I'm so thankful to finally get to speak to you one-on-one instead of just through a chat group, you know, or a chat room or chatting text. But thank
it's
you so much
amazing.
For joining us.
Yes.
And thanks
thank
for
you so much for having
in.
Me.
And Jeannie, thank you. And Susan and Eliza.
Leanne.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you all for calling in. Your great questions. Those were perfect. Put us authors on the spot and make us be truthful about what's going on, really. So I want to thank everyone for joining us and in the chat room and listening today. Thank you very much. You guys have a great
thank you.
End of your weekend. Take care.
Tons of love.